A derivatives bill is one step closer to reality.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day. I'm Steve Chiotakis. A Senate committee late yesterday passed a bill that calls for tougher rules on derivatives trading. It was approved by the Agriculture Committee 13-8. That panel deals with derivatives because it oversees commodities. Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa joined Democrats to vote in support. Gregory Warner, Marketplace's Gregory Warner, is with us live to talk about it this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
What exactly is this bill?
Well, one of the big criticisms of derivatives trading is that it takes place in the shadows. This bill would move all derivatives trading to an open exchange. Banks would have to instantly report prices of trades like you see with a ticker tape on stocks. The situation now is the prices might be revealed to the public only at the end of the day. Second, the bill would bar commercial banks from derivatives trading. That's banks like Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase that make billions on this market. And finally, the bill says that investors would have to put up collateral to buy derivatives to show that they can make good on the bet.
Why, Gregory, are derivatives and their oversight so important to folks?
Now, this is really a question of how much instability, how much risk is good for the economy. And one reason the derivative market is blamed for the financial meltdown is that it's so heavily borrowed. Investors are making bets that they don't have the cash or securities to back up. So if we think of a derivative as a bet on a change that'll happen in the future, that change could be oil prices going up or the weather staying sunny. Mm-hmm. What all derivative trades allow investors to do is make a lot of money on very tiny fluctuations. And when those fluctuations are bigger than expected or wilder, it can topple a company. That's what unseated AIG. And many say it's what made the market so quick to destabilize during the crisis.
Yeah. Where are we now with financial reform, Gregory? How does this fit into all of that?
Well, this bill gets merged with the financial reform bill that the Senate takes up next week. And today, President Obama will speak in New York, trying to build support for that bill.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner reporting live this morning. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are down right now. European shares off by an average of 0.5%. More worries about Greece's debt crisis keeps eroding confidence in a world recovery. Asian shares mostly fell today as well. The Nikkei more than 1%. Wall Street yesterday, not much change. The Dow added about 7 points to close at 11,124. One of New York City's main commuter railroads is buying new train cars, but they can't link up with the nation's 10 remaining so-called bar cars that have ridden those tracks for years. So stockbrokers ordering booze on the ride home may soon be a thing of the past. Jill Barshay reports.
Joanna Solano is mixing a vodka tonic. She tends bar on the Metro North line between New York City and Stamford, Connecticut. She says the people in the bar car are like a family.
Mostly stock, people from Wall Street, advertising, marketing, hard day at work, stress at work. This is happy hour for them.
But the states of Connecticut and New York are calling last orders. Marjorie Anders from Metro North Railroad says the state legislatures didn't fund enough regular cars for all the commuters.
We have a lot of people who need a seat more than they need a bar car. So if we get enough cars out there so that we can satisfy our customers, then maybe we'll have time to think about ordering some bar cars.
Anders says commuters will still be able to order booze from Metro North's concession stands on the platform and take the drink aboard. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. By MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. And by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market.
Tonight, it's round one of the NFL draft in prime time. The St. Louis Rams will make the first pick, but if drafts of the past are any indication, the player they choose may not be the superstar they think he is, and that's something the sports and business worlds have in common. Cade Massey is a professor at the Yale School of Management. He co-authored a paper talking about why the first pick isn't always what it's cracked up to be. Welcome to Marketplace.
Thanks, Steve.
I love the title of your piece, The Loser's Curse of Overconfidence versus Market Efficiency in the NFL Draft. Why'd you go there in the first place?
Well, we thought it would be a good place to test some ideas from psychology, mostly this idea of overconfidence. And in listening to teams talk about their draft picks and who they wanted to play for them, we thought they were wildly overconfident in being able to identify which player would be best. That's one of the troubles with the top picks is that they pay them so much that you pretty much have to hit best case for it to work out. And you take someone, you know, just a couple of years ago, number one pick in the draft, Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, from LSU.
LSU quarterback. Oakland took him number one pick, you know, guaranteed him something like $30 million. And he hasn't worked out well at all.
So where should teams want to draft to get the most bang for their buck?
Well, we find that it's best very late in the first round or even early in the second round. You're still getting very good players, but you're paying them a lot less.
So why are there so many draft day deals for teams to trade up?
I think it's in our nature to be overconfident about our ability to forecast these things. You know, it's not just about football. It's about your investments. It's about your relationships. It's about hiring people into work for your company, hiring lawyers that come out of law school.
Or in the conference room, right? I mean, this could be a CEO of a major company.
Absolutely, absolutely. The virtue of football and other sports is that you can actually observe performance, you can quantify these things, and you know how things play out down the road. Not only can we do this as researchers, but the teams themselves can do this. They can do this in a way that most organizations can't. So if the teams are not getting it right, in the kind of the best possible situation, teams aren't getting this right, what chance do organizations have? You've got to do the analysis or else you're going to fall prey to these same mistakes.
Professor Cade Massey over at Yale School of Management, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Steve.
And finally, on this 40th Earth Day, the New York Times says big companies are using this day to sell, sell, sell. Bahama Umbrellas is marketing an umbrella that collects rainwater. New York's Gray Line is promoting Earth Week packages. Sightseers can ride to Earth-friendly places such as the Flower Market or Botanical Gardens. Take a breath of fresh air in honor of Earth Day. Just don't stand behind one of those gas-guzzling buses. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.